The Book Nook on WISO is made possible by five local library systems in Southwest Ohio: the Greene County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Clark County Public Library, the Dayton Metro Library, and the Wright Memorial Public Library.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WISO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome a special guest to the program today, Harry Campbell. He joins us by telephone from Columbus. Hello, Harry.
Hello.
Harry, you are a conservator at Ohio State University. Now, what is that?
Well, I'm a book and paper conservator for the Ohio State University libraries, and basically a book and paper conservator preserves materials in my case in the OSU libraries, and we do everything in our department from basic repairs to very complex repairs and restoration. And a lot of protective enclosures, book boxes, for lower use materials. Mm-hmm. But we're part of the preservation and reformatting department here in the libraries. And the material that we work on comes from all of the university libraries, the circulating collections, and all of the special collections. And it includes books, documents of all sorts, maps, works of art on paper from some of our special collections, and everything from modern circulating books to historic book structures and medieval and all different periods.
It sounds like a never-ending job.
Yes, it is, and our special collections, especially, keep growing. And these are materials that they don't get reformatted, they don't get replaced. These are a lot of unique and rare, valuable materials. So, yes, it's kind of never-ending.
So I'm wondering, when you're growing up, when you're a small boy, Harry, did you mm-hmm. say to yourself, I'm going to be a conservator?
No, I wanted to be an artist, and I was, and I went to school. I enjoyed doing art in high school, and then I went to the Art Academy of Cincinnati and trained as a painter. And, of course, I studied art history and photography and sculpture and printmaking, but mm-hmm. I majored in painting. And then I did 2 years of graduate school in painting at the University of Wisconsin, and then I quit. I thought, I just want to be an artist. I don't want to be a teacher. So I had a studio, and I moved around a bit to Oregon and back to Ohio. I had just other jobs worked for moving companies a lot all through my through college career and mm-hmm. in the summers. And so that was a good thing to fall back on. There were always moving jobs available. And I also worked as a messenger. And then an opportunity came along at the University of Cincinnati Libraries, which is where I was living at the time. And I met the conservator there, and she was getting ready to She had a grant from NEH to the University of Cincinnati Libraries had a big preservation grant, which were popular back in the late 70s, early 80s. That's when a lot of these preservation programs in big libraries really got started. She was hiring a trainee, and she was actually looking for somebody with art and craft background. Mm-hmm. And she also did what's called design binding, original design binding. So it's very artistic, and she kind of did that on the side and exhibited those materials and, fine leather bindings and gold tooling and all kinds of decorative and very, very refined craftsmanship. And I was really drawn to that. And so she was teaching me how to do that as well as, you know, learning sort of an apprenticeship type of program, learning the everything about library conservation and preservation. And kind of stopped painting then and started doing bookbinding. And I did fine binding and design binding off and on in my early years of doing this. This really started in 1981 for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I occasionally exhibited some of my bindings. And gradually I got to the point where I really preferred working with older materials and doing the restoration work, doing, you know, conservation of older special collections type of materials. And that's pretty much has been my focus for the last 20 years, say. I've been doing that here at the OSU libraries. I was at Cincinnati for 4 years, from 81 to 85. Then I came to OSU when they just started their program. I was right at the very beginning. I was here for 10 years. And then I went to North Carolina for 7 years and worked in a conservation center there, a for-profit company. We did work from all over the country. Libraries and individuals would send work there or bring work there. And then after 7 years, I came back here to OSU. The position changed. They wanted somebody specifically to work with special collections and books and paper.
Mm-hmm.
So my background had brought me to that point where I could work with books and I could work with paper and art on paper especially. For instance, prints and watercolors and any kind of artwork that's done on paper.
In case you just tuned in, Harry Campbell has joined us. He's a conservator at Ohio State University. And it sounds like if you were working at this place in North Carolina that they probably got some very rare items. What kind of things were you seeing down there?
Well, it's a lot of the same kind of things that we have in the collections here and that most big, you know, university libraries have. But it was just remarkable how many institutions and individuals would send things to us. I mean, I guess the variety was a lot greater. And I did get to work on some pretty special books there. Couple of times I worked on Shakespeare first folios.
Wow.
And we don't have one of those here at OSU. We have a second folio. A number of other, I once rebound the elephant folio Audubon, the very, very large, that was... the very large prints, the largest size. And these were originally produced in bindings that were very large. You know, they're like, I don't know, what, 30 by 40 inches?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it needs a huge tabletop just to open the things. And so, and of course, most of those bindings from the 19th century have been taken apart a long time ago, and the prints are separated and, you know, and stored that way or framed. And so it was nice. It was kind of nice to actually rebind a set of these. Actually what I was doing was restoring the original bindings on them, which is a little bit different than a new binding. But and sometimes that new binding, you know, when I say that, we can talk about just a very plain sort of new modern binding. Or we can, sometimes we actually do period style bindings, replicas of replicating what would have been done in the, oh, you know, the 14th or 15th century. And luckily, we've been able to do some of that here at OSU. And of course, we did a lot of that when I was down in North Carolina. That was called the Etherington Conservation Center, by the way.
Okay.
That was run by Don Etherington, who was a very well-known, world-class, you know, fine binder, conservator, paper conservator. So that was a nice opportunity for a while, but it was a lot of work.
Mm.
It was very production-oriented, and so we, you know, there weren't a lot of committees. We didn't have computers at our workstations. it was, it, you know, it was kind of keeping your nose to the grindstone.
Uh-huh. Harry, I understand that you did some restoration on some documents that were found submerged underwater and had been there for many years.
Well, that's right. The gold ship, as it's been called, the ship that was discovered off of the coast of Carolina, North Carolina, the SS Central America, it sank in like 1857
mm-hmm.
in a hurricane. It was loaded with gold from the West Coast. And a few years ago, a group discovered that and brought some of those materials up. And there were some associations with some people here at OSU, including a textiles expert and conservator and scientist. And they brought some of these materials that were in these steamer trunks sitting on the bottom of the ocean for, you know, 150 years. And they freeze-dried them here, and then they consulted with me about, because they had some paper materials as well in there. There were some books and some newspapers and other objects. And I did get to work on those, and mostly I was consulting with them about, but I actually did work on several of the objects and stabilized them and got them ready for display. So, yeah, it was remarkable that those objects, like, you know, newspaper,
uh-huh.
underwater, submerged in water for 150 years, and when you dry it out, you know, you can open it up.
That's amazing.
It had some stains from the inside of this old steamer trunk, you know, where materials, leather and wood and metal, had kind of deteriorated and stained it. But it was very robust, you know, once it was stabilized and, you know, humidified and flattened. And so that was pretty remarkable, I thought.
Harry Campbell joins us. He's a conservator at Ohio State University, and we're talking about books and paper and other objects that he's been involved with conserving and saving. And is this a vanishing field? Are people entering this field these days? It would seem to me that there's few and far between as far as conservators out there.
Well, that's right. It's not a large field, that's for sure. There are, back when I came into it, a lot of people who came into the field in all different specialties, painting, sculpture, architectural materials, books and paper, photographs, people came into it through apprenticeships and working as just kind of on the job kind of learning,
mm-hmm.
or working in an institution like this, and maybe starting out as a student assistant, working part time and getting interested, and then eventually going on to you know, work as a professional later on. Now, there are several graduate programs around the country and around the world, but in North America, there's like four or five,
mm-hmm.
One or two in Canada, several in the U.S., that have graduate programs in conservation, in cultural heritage conservation, and it's all kind, all types of all those different specialties I mentioned. And it's these are very rigorous programs, and it's usually a 2-year program with like a 3rd-year kind of internship, and they're very competitive. A lot of people apply and don't even get in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
They apply, they have, you know, they kind of get on a waiting list, but it's very, very competitive. And so those, each one of those programs probably graduates, you know, maybe 10 or 12 people a year. And these people go into museums, working in museums that have their own conservation labs, or libraries, big research libraries that have conservation. Or they go into business on their own, private practice, or for these, there are several conservation centers around the country, either profit or nonprofit. And so they, you know, they can usually, I think it's a probably a pretty good balance in the field as far as the number of opportunities that are out there, you know, compared to the number of the people who are coming into the field. And that's conservation. Graduate school is not the only way to come into conservation. And I've had student assistants here over the years that I've been here. Almost every year I have somebody in the department, one of our undergraduate student assistants, who looked specifically for a job in our department, as opposed to somewhere else on campus, some other type of job or some other type of job in the libraries. But they with the intention of gaining hands-on experience to get a leg up in, you know, for these graduate programs. And this pre-program experience is crucial. In fact, they all require it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell you how to get it, but they say, you know, either as a volunteer or working as a student assistant or working for a company that does this work, a conservation center. It seems like every year the number goes up, the ante goes up. You know, you need more and more hours. I mean, we're talking like 1,500 hours, or even before they get into graduate school. So, and then there are other prerequisites. For instance, college chemistry, art history. So you have to have a very you have to have a good direction when you're going through your undergraduate program, and if your intention is to apply for these graduate schools, because it takes a while, and these things are they're not the easiest things to do. For instance, chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you have to take a lot of chemistry, and so the students I've had have been kind of going through these different levels of wherever they are as an undergraduate, and then they start applying for graduate programs, or they're in the summers they may be looking for internships, and they usually find them around the country, things that are called pre-program internships. And a lot of institutions use that now to hire young students to come in and, you know, both work for them and also to begin their studies and help them prepare to get into graduate school. One of my students recently had a couple of internships between her sophomore and junior year, and then between her junior and senior year, and then was hired, was going to apply for graduate school, but the historic house museum where she had interned, offered her a job the coming fall. So she took them up on that, and she was hired as a private as a contractor, but she worked there full time. And then that position, after a year now, has been turned into a full-time position. So she's on there. She's not a contractor anymore. And, you know, she's working in the field doing what she wanted to do. And she didn't go to graduate school, but she's still thinking about it. So, but obviously she'll be pretty well established when she does, if she does apply for graduate school. So there are other ways around it, but most people kind of take that graduate school route. And I'm surprised that here at OSU, well, it's a very, very large student population, but almost every year we have new students coming in who look me up specifically for this pre-program experience, you know, working here as a student assistant. So,
well, it sounds like you enjoy the mentoring aspects of your work, Harry. And I understand that you had an opportunity at one point to restore a mural that was being removed from an area. And I'm guessing that your background as a painter probably was very helpful in this restoration.
Yeah, you know, and I often think about that. Why didn't I go into painting conservation? I sometimes wish I would have. I admire the work so much that painting conservators do, and you know, and I still love to paint. I mean, I did come back to painting. I do a painting about once a year, mm-hmm. But the mural that you're talking about was actually, it was on canvas, but it was paper, which had been glued to canvas.
Mm.
And the painting itself was gouache, or which is sort of a heavy type of watercolor.
Uh-huh.
And the paper itself had been, like I said, had been glued to a stretched canvas and framed and hung up. It was about 15 or 18 feet long and 4 feet high. And we actually had to take it down off the wall. It hung on a train station in North Carolina, an old historic place. And the building had been unused for many years. And there were a lot of places where the outside environment could get into the building, and the building was very damp. This was in the eastern part of the state, and the mural didn't wear well in those conditions, in an uncontrolled kind of environment, and so the paper was quite fragile, and we moved it in a truck back to our lab in the middle part of the state, and then basically we didn't have to separate the paper from the canvas. We were able to clean it, do a surface cleaning, and then do some repairs and work some adhesives in, and do some touching up. And then we restored the frame and put it back in its frame. And that was a very interesting project. It was an interesting mural. And I think it's hanging in a building. I think eventually they were hoping to rehabilitate or restore this this old train depot, and the plan was for this painting to go back where it was originally, and I don't know if that ever happened.
Hmm.
But for a while it was hanging in a some kind of college or academy building in the same town. So yeah, that was an interesting experience. Again, I have worked with paintings occasionally, nothing real serious, mostly cleaning the surfaces and some touching up. But if it was an old master and something very fragile, and I wouldn't even go near it.
You mm-hmm.
know, I'm just not trained for that, and
sure.
It does take a lot of real specific training. So. There, you know, and in painting conservation, which has been around and been, you know, that's what most people think of when they think of restoration and conservation of artworks.
Mm-hmm.
There were, you know, there was a grand tradition, a long-lasting tradition of painting restorers. And sometimes they did awful things. They didn't have really state-of-the-art kind of training. It just didn't exist. And they used whatever materials. There wasn't a lot of science behind the work as there is now. Conservation science is another specialty, by the way. That backs up all of the work that we do, and that's where, you know, that helps. That informs a lot of the work we do. But back then, you know, especially in painting, they were kind of, you know, they were apprentice trained or they were self trained, and a lot of those people are still working in the field in doing painting restoration, and you know, a lot of clients still go to them, including museums. But it's getting more away from that, you know, and a lot of those people, it's kind of onto another generation now. And a lot of the people working in museums and with museum objects have most, I would say, probably in this day and age, have the graduate school training and the proper scientific kind of background. And so that we, you know, that they're not doing things to objects that are going to hurt them in the long run. They're going to be stable for a long time. And, you know, that's what modern conservation is all about.
Hmm. Well, Harry, it's really been a pleasure talking to you about your work.
Well, it's a pleasure for me, too. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Our guest has been Harry Campbell. He's a conservator at The Ohio State University. He joined us by telephone today from Columbus. And I'm guessing you've probably worked on a few of James Thurber's cartoons if you're there in Columbus.
Oh, yes. We have almost all of his artwork in our rare books and manuscripts collection. And I have worked on it a lot over the years. And I think we have about 400 to 500 works of his. These are the cartoons. Uh-huh. That we illustrated his books and were in the New Yorker, and you know, these are the original artworks, and you know, they've been plastered with tape and, uh-huh. and notes from the publishers, and you know, when these things were reproduced in magazines, and yeah, very interesting collection in our rare books and manuscripts collection. Yeah, we have a big Thurber. You know, first editions, all of his manuscripts. So that's been, you know, it's funny, when I went to North Carolina the first, after working here the first time, while I was down there, the OSU sent some materials down there to be worked on, and I got to work on them while I was there. Some of the Thurber materials.
Well, thanks again, Harry.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Book Nook on WYSO, and we've been talking to Harry Campbell. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.